the Ulysses, man's greatest achievement. A ship capable of traveling to distant galaxies, but a freak accident leaves the ship helpless. Its AI, damaged, dangerous, plays a deadly game with the two surviving members of the crew. If they indulge the machine's newfound passion for science fiction and fantasy trivia, it will permit limited access to the astrogation matrix and star drive. For astronauts Clive Ashenden and Rob Wickens, the choice is clear. If they ever want to see Earth again, they must define the A to Z of SFF.
A is for Alligator and Alligator 2, the Mutation Movies. Continue.
Alligator 2, Electric Boogaloo. Well, we'll talk very briefly about Alligator 2 because it's very much the stunted second cousin to the first film, which is an absolute triumph of the monster film genre.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely more horror than it is, sci-fi fantasy, but there is that certain element of scientific experiments in this case, which leads to an alligator grown to ginormous size. Not quite towering over cities and crushing buildings beneath its claws, but it is a gigantic reptile.
Indeed, I mean, it ties very much into that whole sort of science spawning a monster kind of deal. The whole notion of Alligator the movie is that it's kind of taking these fairly well-worn science fictional tropes and just putting a neat little spin on everything, making it a little bit sort of urban and dirty and but still a great deal of fun. Of course, it's got a fantastic screenplay by the brilliant John Sayles, who, you know, he dipped his toes in every genre, but this is kind of his most overtly horror work.
Is it? I'm not sure I agree with you there.
Okay, Rob, tell me more.
I would say his most overtly horror works were it's definitely one of them, but I'd also throw in Piranha.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And The Howling.
Oh.
As being, I mean, those are the ones that come to mind first. I mean, I think Alligator is, like Piranha, is an obvious sort of like Jaws follow-up, shall we say, homage, rip-off, if you are being unkind. But like Piranha, it's a really intelligent one.
Yeah, I think it's very very much a sort of clear-eyed kind of, like you say, I'd never call it a rip-off. It's very much a homage to Jaws and its ilk.
Yeah, and the fact that you've it's transported into this urban milieu is really, you know, gives it a very different feel, even though you could probably point out, look, certain of the story beats are the same, you know, and at a certain point in the story, they bring in a, you know, quote unquote hunter to take the beast down, like in Jaws. We've already shouted out to John Sayles, who is a very, you know, good genre script writer who, you know, is obviously became better known for his work as writer-director, where he's working on sort of issue-driven indie dramas. But this was kind of his bread and butter. This is what paid the bills. So it allowed him to go and make things like, Eight Men Out and Matter One. But no, I think the first Alligator is a really good horror movie, and it's got a really nice cast full of interesting character actors, and I think Lewis Teague, the director, is one of those genre directors who's a bit underrated. I think, you know, he did good work in this. He did good work in his Stephen King adaptation Cujo, and he always brings a lot to the plate, I think, in terms of getting good performances.
Absolutely. I mean, that cast includes fantastic character actors like Robert Forster. You know, I think pretty much anything with Robert Forster in is always worth a look.
But sort of playing a cop again, which is sort of something, a role that he got, he seemed to play a lot. But he's great. I mean, from Medium Call onwards, basically, through to Jackie Brown, and he's always a name to look out for in the credits. And he gets at the time he was getting some interesting lead roles. I think he was he also had the lead in Vigilante around this time, which is which is another really good sort of genre picture. You think of him more as a character actor, but he definitely holds the screen well in this.
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, getting him playing a cop, he's got one of those sort of cop faces, really. And here, of course, he's playing the cop with history, the cop who's had things go wrong, the cop on Last Chance Boulevard, really, who gets lumbered with a case that kind of not necessarily runs away with him, but certainly explodes into something a little bit more than he was anticipating.
Yeah. David Madison. Yes, super cop. It becomes a bit of an obsession for him when it's almost like history repeats itself again, because we find out that he's got this reputation of as being a cop whose partners don't last very long. You know, it's not very healthy to team up with him, much like Dirty Harry.
Indeed, you know, God damn it, Chief, I've only got 2 weeks to go to retirement. What are you pairing me with this guy for?
Yeah, he doesn't have only 2 weeks to go to retirement, it must be said, but
you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do know what you mean. It says that, Phil. But no, I mean, there's lots of other good characteristics in there, like Dean Jagger, and particular, you know, the wonderful Henry Silver as the great white hunter Colonel Brock, who is this wonderful almost comedic sort of way that he's painted, this sort of, you know, the fact that he's got these local guides, these black kids from the neighborhood, and he refers to them as his native bearers. And they're like, who is this guy? You know, they're just openly taking the mick out of him. And his arrogance, well, it rather literally bites him in the ass, doesn't it? So
certainly does. So there's loads going on here. I mean, obviously you can kind of follow the story beats through from Jaws and things like that. You've got the cop that's no one will believe. You know, you've got the the monster sort of floating around that ends up being part of a massive hunt. But you've got the whole sort of the fun stuff going on in the sewers. You've got this fantastic urban environment. It's set in Chicago. The film that kind of springs to mind for me whenever I think about Alligator is Cue the Winged Serpent as well. It's got kind of an element of that in there as well, I think.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, it has a bit of a Larry Cohen feel to it, but obviously without that's a very explicitly New York film, whereas as you say, this is a different environment. But it's a very intelligent film. Which, when you say, oh, it's a film about an alligator that goes around eating people in the city, then then immediately that implies sort of like that it's dumb, you know, that's dumb. And it doesn't have a brain in its head. We'll come to a film which doesn't have a brain in its head shortly. But No, but it's just there's lots of little intelligent sort of beats, and it motors along really nicely, and just to sort of take it from that seed of what was then like an urban myth really about people flushing their pet alligators down the toilet and then them growing to getting fat, eating rats and so on in the sewers, and then eating vagrants and getting bigger and bigger.
But I mean that's kind of a rich stream for that sort of exploitation grade kind of cinema as well. And you've got things coming out of that like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and the Chuds and things like that. It urban myth can be very, very rich in terms of something nifty to hang a nice little genre movie on, and this really does work for in that sense. It doesn't pretend to be anything more than it is, but it's well crafted, it's well written, it's well acted. The alligator's really well done too. So there's really nothing not to recommend about
Yeah,
this particular film.
it's I mean, another instance of the director sort of knowing what he can get away with, and there's a nice sort of mix of having like real normal sized alligators in sort of scaled environments, so it looks like a big alligator, some stop motion, some sort of puppetry, and just that doing that Jaws thing of only sort of showing it in shadow and bits of it to begin with. And then I mean, obviously, with alligators or crocodiles, you've got that nice thing of when they can be so still and then strike, and they maybe just look like a log, in the background if they're in shadow, which is a nice helpful thing if you're trying to build up suspense.
I mean, it's great sort of midway through the movie when the alligator. Explain this to me. Why is the alligator called Ramon? I've never understood that.
That's the name given to the pet alligator by the reptile expert that becomes a sort of a love interest for our hero, and they end up teaming up, don't they?
Oh, so
But
she's.
the idea is that Marissa, that's when she first sort of becomes interested in reptiles, and her mum and dad buy her this alligator from when they're on holiday, and then decide it's a pain in the ass and flush it down the loo and tell her that it died, and that's exactly the thing. So that's why, because that was what she called it at the time.
I sort of just love the notion of this guy, this alligator called Ramon, whizzing around the sewers of Chicago, chowing down on children eventually, which is where things get really cool. Just nicely twisted, really. The fact it will.
Yeah, and there's a bit of like a lot of sales scripts. There's a nice bit of sort of, I guess, satire at the expense of sort of corporate America and sort of big pharma in this case, with this sort of unscrupulous scientific endeavors. Really, the fact that they're making these growth hormones, and then just basically paying this dodgy pet owner to round up sort of strays that they can experiment on, and then just binning the results in the sewers, which Ramon is feasting on, which caused him
Grow even further.
to become a 36-foot monster. So I think it's got a really nice build, and initially you think, oh, it's just going to do that thing of Jaws where you're not seeing it hardly at all, and then it sort of has this sort of breakout sort of third act where it's loose in the city, and by that point you've got the nice sort of David Marissa sort of
Team
team
up.
up, whilst the rest of the cops and the National Guard are just basically being taken out in much the same way that the big game hunter is. Yeah, it, it's This is a really fun horror movie with a little bit of sci-fi special sauce.
Yeah, absolutely, and you can't go wrong with sci-fi special sauce all over everything, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. A less special movie would be Alligator 2, The Mutation. Have you seen this film, Rob?
I have not. You're going to have to take me gently by the hand and guide me through the...
Well, this is very much an in-name-only sort of sequel. Right. It's about a decade later, you get this very belated sequel that, it doesn't really link up with the original in any way. It just has a very similar premise. This time, it's a different environment. You've got this sort of lakeshore town, and you have a unscrupulous property developer, Vincent Brown, who is a sort of very shady businessman stroke sort of local mafiosa, who's been pumping toxic waste into the sewers that feed into this lake, to make a lot of extra cash that allows him to sort of build this plush, luxurious lakeside development. And again you get this sort of local cop who's also called David, but it's David Hodges in this case, who's sort of on the case and is sort of figures out that this that it's an alligator again. Sadly, the mutation makes it sound like it's this sort of, it's going to be this this sort of monstrous sort of it's going to be a bit more mutated than it is. Mm. What that just basically means is big alligator.
Oh.
Sorry, folks. You know, you were hoping that it had like two heads or, you know, be a bit more, I don't know, dinosaur like, but no, it's sadly not that interesting. You've got some reliable character actors in this one, like Richard Lynch, as the hunter who gets brought in, but he's a good old boy from the south who brings his good old boy mates with him, and gets to sort of practice his best southern accent, y'all.
Oh, dear.
All the way through it, he's clearly having fun, and you've got Steve Rails back as the evil property developer.
Oh.
I mean, he gives good evil guy.
Steve Railsback's always good value for money, isn't he?
Yeah, and sadly, largely wasted. You've got Dee Wallace in there as the sort of, but she's just wife of the scientist, wife of the hero cop in this case. Mm. And I'll tell you what, their depiction of what a science lab looks like is really comical. It's like something out of Bride of Frankenstein. lots of sort of bubbling red liquids in sort of test tubes and stuff.
Oh.
You know, and then they pop in and she's obviously, you know, deep. I mean, she's a good actress, but she's just given nothing here. The script is really poor, especially compared to the first one. The direction is also pretty poor from a director who's basically did a load of director video stuff and nothing really of note. And everything's kind of overlit. And the lair that of the alligator is particularly poor. It's just they've just basically stuck a load of reeds in a bit of pipe, and it's sort of, the idea is he built himself some sort of nest, but it's just so poor. It's not unentertaining. If you're feeling very generous, it's a kind of good cheesy time. But whereas Alligator is a sort of is a real sort of find if you're a genre buff.
Mm.
Alligator 2, The Mutation is really quite poor.
Not so much then. Okay, but I have to say you've completely unsold me on. See, it's a real shame. The whole notion of a giant mutant alligator sounds great, but if you're going to see that kind of movie, go see Lake Placid, frankly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, on having just watched it the once, it does appear that it sort of reuses certain alligator shots from the first film in terms of cutaways of eyes and things like that. So, you know, I wonder if they just got the rights to you know, the property and some of the footage there. But yeah, it's very broad strokes. It's and very cheesy, and yeah, yes. As opposed to the first one, which is top notch,
dynamite stuff. Okay. So in conclusion, then, don't go and see, or don't try and download on the galactic interwebs, Alligator 2 Electric Boogaloo, because you'll be profoundly disappointed.
Yeah, unless you're a Steve Railsback completist, you know, in which case you've probably seen it already. So, but yeah, Dee Wallace is or Dee Wallace Stone, as she's credited in that one, is pretty much wasted in it. Sadly,
that's a shame. I do have a Dee Wallace shrine, but that particular piece of cinematic entertainment is not going anywhere near it.
Good to know, and now I know what's in that locker on the flight tech that you won't let me look in.
You stay away from my shrine, all right?
Okay then, okay, I'll do that.
Right. In conclusion, then, Alligator, great. Alligator 2, no good. Cyclomedia, does that tell you everything you need to know?
See you later, alligator.
You just had to do that, didn't you? All right, Clivey, fire it up. Let's just try and get as far away from that joke as we can, please.
Are you going to leave him hanging then, Rob? I'm not going to say in a wild crocodile.
It honestly doesn't deserve it.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, hit it.
In a wild crocodile.
The A to Z of SFF was written and performed by Rob Wickings and Clive Ashenden. The show was produced and edited by Rob Wickings at All Hallows Post of Reading, the finest sound available anywhere. Would you like to know more? Go to www.theatozofsff.com. Like us on Facebook as The A to Z of SFF, or follow us on Twitter at The A to Z of SFF.